Afro Verdict, brought to you by Sputnik Africa.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Afro Verdict podcast. Today's a special episode as it coincides with the International Day of Multilateralism and Diplomacy for Peace. On this day, we celebrate the power of collaboration and peaceful dialogue in resolving conflict and building a more stable world. Now, to help us explore this theme, I'm thrilled to be joined by Professor Felix Chinwe Asogwa, Director of the Institute for Peace, Conflict and Development Studies, Enugu State University of Science and Technology in Nigeria. And without further ado, let's get right to our discussion. Professor Asogwa, thank you for joining me today on the Afro Verdict podcast and welcome to the show. Prof, as you are a new guest on the Afro Verdict podcast, how about you introduce yourself to our listeners? I think that would do them the world of good to understand that today we will hear all about this important day in the global arena from a true expert.
My name is Professor Felix Asogwa. I'm a professor of international relations at Enugu State University of Science and Technology. Enugu State, Nigeria. I'm equally a lawyer by training, and I'm the director, Institute for Peace, Conflict and Development Studies of Enugu State University of Science and Technology, Enugu State, Nigeria.
Well, Professor Asogwa, thank you very much for joining me once again. It's my biggest honor and pleasure to have you with me today. Like we said in the beginning, on April 24th, the world commemorates the International Day of Multilateralism and Diplomacy for Peace. Can you explain to us a little bit the meaning and the purpose of this day?
Yeah, thanks so much. The International Day for Multilateral Diplomacy was a day set aside by the United Nations Organizations, which was approved through the UN resolution on the 12th of December, 2018. And the first annual celebration of the day was April 24, 2019. Essentially, the United Nations, you know, set it aside as a way of reaffirming, you know, the key issue as contained in the UN Charter, which is that of the promotion of a more peaceful mechanism by nations in terms of resolving disputes among them, which is the key essence of the establishment of the United Nations Organization in 1945. That day, the International Day of Multilateralism, essentially, you know, is meant to encourage nations, multiple nation states, to employ the instrument of dialogue, to employ the instrument of negotiation as a way of promoting greater understanding and as a way of promoting a more peaceful way of resolving dispute or conflict. It is also meant to ensure that the various nations of the world realize the importance of collectivity in terms of pursuing common purpose, common agenda, in tackling various challenges faced by mankind. And essentially, these are the essential ingredients of UN in establishing this International Day of Multilateral Diplomacy, as opposed to, the use of bilateral diplomacy in settling disputes.
Prof, thank you very much for that introduction. In your opinion, what is the importance for developing countries to work on multilateralism and diplomacy in their regions?
Yeah, for the third world countries, multilateral diplomacy is key in terms of ensuring sustainable peace and development in these various regions, especially within the African continent. As we all know today, Africa is faced with a whole lot of challenges challenges of development, challenges of climate change, challenges of rising insecurity and so on and so forth, rising interstate disputes. You know, these are common challenges these third world countries, especially Africa, you know, are facing. And there's no way on individual basis, you know, these countries can be able to surmount some of these challenges they are facing, except through cooperation, which is what multilateral diplomacy is preaching. That cooperation, especially using the instrument of dialogue, using the instrument of negotiation in terms of resolving both interstate conflict and also in tackling various common challenges faced by these third world countries, it is not possible that these nations can achieve any meaningful impact in these areas except through multilateral diplomacy, which essentially is anchored on the spirit of cooperation, anchored on the spirit of dialogue, and anchored on the spirit of negotiation. So to that extent, there's no meaningful way of achieving or surmounting the common, challenges these third world countries are facing, except through the instrumentality of a multilateral diplomacy.
No, Prof, thank you. And I must say, I completely agree with you on the points that you listed. Further, could you explain to our listeners what African instruments exist to resolve crises and conflicts on the continent?
Yes, certainly. African countries have, from the beginning, appreciated the import of multilateralism, even prior to the declaration of 24th of April every year as International Day for Multilateralism. African countries from onset, have come to appreciate the need for this spirit of togetherness, spirit of cooperation, which is what multilateralism is preaching. So that from onset, immediately after the independence of most of these third world African countries, they felt the need, starting from the period of Kwame Nkrumah and the rest of them, who perceived the need for Africa to come together. Coming together, there were various divergent views of how this multilateral arrangement can take place within the African continent. And that was what metamorphosed into the formation of the Organization of African Unity, previously known as OAU, now known as African Union. From onset, there was diverse, perspective to how this multilateral arrangement could take place in Africa. Some were of the view, people like Kwame Nkrumah from beginning, felt there was need to form a more solid, a more united African, multilateral arrangement where there will be commonality of even in terms of political arrangement and so on and so forth. Some others felt there should be a more loose, multilateral arrangement. But the important thing today that within the African continent, African Union and some other regional organizations within the continent of Africa have provided the platform for this multilateral diplomacy to thrive in Africa. So in a greater extent, they've been able, maybe through the instrument of such a, multilateral arrangement like African Union and other, been able to be coming together to realize the need to form a common front in terms of resolving conflict, in terms of pursuing common objective which they share together and so on and so forth. So within the African continent, the spirit of a multilateralism has always flowered, even though to a large extent, I wouldn't say they've been so successful in terms of achieving the key objective of multilateralism within the African continent. But the fact remains that past African and present African leaders have come to appreciate the importance of multilateralism in African engagement.
Okay, there's some fair points. And you mentioned regional organizations, right? What about international organizations? Do you think some of them should be perhaps restructured in order to achieve a true, genuine multilateralism as well as peace?
Like I said, from the beginning till now, there's emerging divergent views concerning how the arrangement, multilateral arrangement, can be shaped in Africa to, you know, give a better credence in terms of the outcome, the achievement of this multilateral arrangement, especially the African Union. The key problem, key challenge, African Union, like all know today, have been facing is, maybe the lack of independence on part of this institution. Independent because most of the time, African Union and some other multilateral arrangement in Africa has been criticized on the fact that they have been, majorly dependent on Western influence, who, even though they are not part of, the regional arrangement, from outside they keep influencing, because the greater percentage of the resources utilized by these multilateral arrangements in Africa, especially talking about African Union, are provided by the Western powers. And to a large extent, they've not been able to delink, from this overwhelming influence the Western countries have had on those multilateral diplomatic arrangements Africans are put in place. That is one key challenge, African Union, in terms of lack of independent existence, because most of African countries are under the influence of Western powers. It has transmitted to the multilateral arrangements within Africa, so that such arrangements have not been able to be firm because of this overbearing influence, especially coming from the Western powers. That has been the key challenge in terms of the effectiveness of multilateral arrangement within the African continent.
Well, you just mentioned the Western influence in the solution and diplomacy of the West. For example, in February, the president of the Central African Republic, Faustin Archange Touadéra, said that the neocolonial practices of the West are one of the main causes of instability and economic underdevelopment in African countries. So, Prof, in your opinion, which neocolonial practices do you think the West engages in that create instability and economic underdevelopment?
Yeah, the meddlesomeness of the Western powers. Because even in terms of the internal, both political and economic arrangements of most of these African countries, the Western powers from, have been influencing the direction of both political and economic events. Most of these countries, in terms of leadership selection processes, but usually influence, especially if we look at especially Francophone African countries, because the policy, French policies in Africa, which is that of policy of assimilation, which sees these former colonial territories are still appendage of France. It does not allow these countries to have their own independent political and economic arrangements, so that most of the time, in terms of economic arrangement, the key economic institutions, especially those of multinational corporations that have their home countries located in these Western powers, especially France. The typical example was what happened recently in Niger Republic, where some military officers staged the coup, and these coup leaders gave ultimatum, gave instances of undue meddlesomeness by France in terms of the internal affairs of these countries, especially in terms of the key economic institution within their country. And it raised a very serious problem, which, of course, currently, both ECOWAS and the African Union, you know, came in, try to manage the situation, because it got to a point, some of these Francophone West African countries started backing out from the regional organization of Economic Community of West African States. So the bottom line is that both in economic realm and political realm, these countries unduly, you know, get involved in terms of the processes, both in terms of leadership recruitment, both in terms of key economic institutions that you know, operate in these countries. And to that extent, it doesn't give these countries the leverage to fully, on their own, appreciate the need for intra-African cooperation. It subverts the whole idea of intra, that's within African cooperation. Rather, they channel cooperation, encourage more or less bilateral cooperation between such countries and you know, these their colonial, former colonial masters. So it has been one of the most subversive you know, means of not ensuring effective multilateralism in African continent, because it has continued to create an atmosphere of dependency syndrome between these former colonial territories and their colonial masters, rather than encouraging internal African cooperation to come together to effectively solve common problems affecting them.
I appreciate the detail that you go into, truly. Look, during April, Russian President Vladimir Putin said that Macron has some resentment towards Moscow for Russia's alleged squeezing, quote-unquote, of France out of Africa. And Russia's President Putin said that Russia, in fact, hasn't pushed anyone out, and African countries have independently chosen to cooperate with Russian economic actors. Why do you think is it important for African countries to choose their partners independently?
I would rather express the view that rather than Russia pushing some of these European countries of out of Africa, they are the ones rather pushing themselves up out of Africa by the manner and the conditions under which they've related with these African countries. You know, Africa, the relationship between Africa and most of these African countries and the Western powers have been that of subjugation or exploitative relationship, like I alluded to what happened in both Niger and other West African countries, including other Anglophone, you know, African countries. It's not just Francophone. In Anglophone, the relationship has not been a relationship of equal. And gradually, on a daily basis, because of the restiveness of the domestic, restiveness emerging from the domestic environment as a result of increasing impoverishment, as a result of increasing frustration on the part of the generality of you know, the people of third world countries. Their leaders are also under pressure to find a more encouraging partnership, looking at alternative ways of getting an encouraging partnership, or partnership that would benefit the generality of the citizens, partnership that will encourage, you know, a more effective socioeconomic development in this country. And that's why they started looking, exploring the option of re-engaging with or engaging with Russian Federation, option of engaging with, Chinese Republic, and so on and so forth. These are options African countries are exploring as a result of the unequal and exploitative relationship with the Western powers. And that's why I said, rather than seeing it that Russia is dislodging them, they are rather dislodging themselves because of the character of the relationship they have maintained with Africa over the years. Africans, every other day, the awareness is increasing that the character of the relationship with the Western powers over the decades, over the years, has not encouraged sustainable development in Africa countries like in other third world countries. And they started exploring the alternative. And that alternative includes re-establishing stronger relationship with Russia and some other more friendly countries that will bring a more, sustainable socioeconomic development in the continent. And that's just the truth. I wouldn't say Russia was responsible for dislodging them. Rather, the policy objective they pursued, which is that of exploiting the economic resources of Africa, was responsible for the gradual disengagement African countries are having with the Western power.
Right, exactly. And that said, right, taking into consideration what you just explained, and that being that over time, African countries have strengthened their right to independently choose their partners in order to seek a truly multipolar world order. It came from their own bidding. So how is the world shifting to a more multipolar order instead of a unipolar order right now?
Yeah, certainly the world gradually, the hegemonic dominance of the Western power, especially the United States of America, then resulting in unipolarism, especially immediately after the end of the Cold War era. Other powers emerging, maybe to checkmate the dominance of America. And when I talk of America, the Western power in global affairs. So that today, sure, the Russian Federation, the Chinese Republic, these are emerging centers of global powers in the world that are gradually building up to checkmate, the unipolar world dominated by the United States of America through its ally, the Western, Europe. Today, multipolarism, no doubt, is becoming a reality. Becoming a reality because the increasing powers of the Russian Federation, both in terms of military power, both in terms of economic power, the same applies to Chinese, the Chinese Republic, in terms of economic and military power. That's just the only way of sustaining, multipolarism, different centers of power, as was against what happened as a result of the dismantling of the bipolarity that characterized the Cold War era and the immediate post-Cold War era characterized by unipolarism, the hegemony of United States through Western influence. Today, we're witnessing more than two centers of power. Even in some instances, people are saying, well, the close link, the inseparable link between America and Europe that the European Union is trying to bet is debatable because we gradually, in terms of global political arrangement, America and European Union have always taken the same distance. But if you talk of multipolarism, you see emergence of Russian Federation effectively checkmating the excesses of United States and even Europe. China is also there. And Africa, I hope African countries or leaders of Africa will also realize the need to square up well in terms of stepping up developmental game, in terms of stepping up the military capability of African countries, and through multilateral arrangements, whether they will wake up and create Africa as another center of power in global affairs. But we are waiting and hoping that will happen. And that will be only guaranteed through which African independence in global affairs can be achieved.
Let's talk about BRICS for a moment. The bloc has currently two African countries among the new members, those being Egypt and Ethiopia, and then obviously South Africa being almost one of the fundamental members of BRICS. And your country, Nigeria, has also expressed interest in joining the bloc. Why does BRICS attract African countries in the context of emerging multipolarity and multilateralism?
The African countries are attracted to BRICS because BRICS represent what we ordinarily refer to as concept of middle powers, maybe trying to create another centers of powers among emerging nations of the world. And if they are able, no doubt, if they are able to garner enough, military and economic capability, it will really be an interesting game because the world, multipolarity is necessary in terms of checkmating the excesses of the big powers of the world. And to that extent, most African countries are getting more and more interested in joining BRICS because they are seeing it as another mechanism to ensure a more balanced global political arrangement and sustain the whole idea of multipolarism in global affairs.
My last question quickly. So last week, I had the opportunity to attend the opening of the House of Africa in Russia, which took place in Moscow. And this house aims to become a central hub for promoting diplomatic, business, and cultural engagement between Russia and Africa, as well as the leading platform for advancing Russia-Africa relations. To what extent is this establishment specifically and Russian-African relations in general are creating this multilateralism that we are discussing today and are celebrating on the 24th of April?
That arrangement by the Russian Federation, typifies what the whole idea of multilateralism, because multilateral diplomacy involves the use of instruments of treaties among many nations, use of instruments of conferencing among various nations of the world, engagement in sociocultural relations is a sure instrument for promoting multilateral diplomacy, which I keep commending the Russian Federation. Such an arrangement, no doubt, will cement a greater bond, provide better, arena for greater understanding, so that through it, a framework for better understanding in terms of socioeconomic relation between Russia and Africa could also be more effectively promoted. And to that extent, I think it is a welcome development because so far, African countries, like I did point out earlier, are looking out for alternative platform for multilateral diplomacy that will be based on equity, that will be based on mutual benefit to all the countries involved. And I think so far, most African countries are seeing Russian Federation as a more disposed country in terms of promoting a more equitable relationship with African countries rather than exploitative relationship. So that engagement is a welcome development in terms of furthering multilateral diplomacy between African countries and the Russian Federation.
And that brings us to the end of this fascinating conversation on the importance of multilateralism and diplomacy for peace. Professor Chinwe Asogwa, your insights have been absolutely invaluable, sir. So as we celebrate International Day of Multilateralism and Diplomacy for Peace, let us all strive, both you and I and every single person listening, to be advocates for dialogue and understanding. Well, for our listeners, if you'd like to delve deeper into this topic, feel free to visit the Sputnik Africa website, where you can find plenty of interesting and engaging material. Don't forget to check out previous AfroVerdict podcasts on popular podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Deezer, Pocket Casts, AfriPods, Castbox, and Podcast Addict. Afro Verdict is now also on Spotify, so if that's your go-to platform for podcasts, enjoy Afro Verdict at any time. As always, this is your Afro Verdict host, Victor Anakin. Thank you for tuning in and listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Afro Verdict, brought to you by Sputnik Africa.